But they're on these FDA-approved drugs. And one of the side effects is they get bronchial infections. They get sick a lot because their immune system became compromised. Well, our adult stem cells, after they've dampened the inflammation, they also modulate the immune response. They bring it back to normal or near normal so that your immune system isn't working against you, but it's not compromised either. And then it restores blood flow, reverses cell death, and reverses scar, and then they can regenerate the tissue or the joint or the muscle, whatever is needed. Like, you have to realize this right to try law is a big deal, because our right to health and our right to life have been acknowledged as fundamental human rights since, I think it was the 1940s.
Finally, I am able to offer Bill Andrews' amazing new anti-aging dietary supplement with TAM. I have been wanting this since I learned about its discovery approximately 4 years ago. At that time, it was not available as an oral supplement, but now, Define Time with TAM is here. This amazing product counteracts and suppresses the fundamental cause of aging, telomere shortening. TAM improves biological health in skin, vessels, brain, and bone. Specifically, it works to lengthen telomeres in cells, leading to younger and healthier cells. Currently, Define Time with TAM is the most effective anti-aging compound available in the world today. Listeners will receive a 5% discount using code SARAH5. Be sure to use this every time you buy. It will also work in conjunction with other offers. See additional research and learn more with the link below.
And she was back to coaching opera and working 8 to 10 hours a day.
Oh, that's amazing. She was.
Yeah, and not on any meds. Now, was she perfectly asymptomatic? No. But
I suppose she didn't care, right? I mean, she was probably just ecstatic. So what is the percent? You say 85% are seeing quality of life.
But by the way, here's a key. I saw her son a couple weeks ago. I'm sorry. But I saw her son a couple weeks ago, and I said, how's your mom? And he goes, you know, she's getting better. That was like 5 years out.
She's still getting better. Well, that's incredible. Now, you said the 85%.
Yeah, but she's working at it, too.
Well, 85% of patients are seeing some improvement in life. Of that 85%, how many... You know, how dramatic is that? Now, you just told us a super responder, but how many people are seeing pretty dramatic changes versus just, oh, I don't have as much pain, but it's really not that big of a deal? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what percentage are seeing dramatic improvements in life?
Well, I think the vast majority did. You know, I think of the 300 patients, I'm highly confident that 2/3 showed, you know, what they call remarkable benefit.
That's really great. And so it's the right to try. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Like, you have to realize this right to try law is a big deal, because our right to health and our right to life have been acknowledged as fundamental human rights since, I think it was the 1940s. But yet we haven't had that right, because there are laws that say, well, you can't try this and you can't try that. And what the great thing about this federal right to try law is it says, hey, as long as your drug or device or whatever has been through a phase 1 safety trial and is currently under investigation in an FDA-approved trial, have at it. As long as it's been shown to be safe, you have the right to try.
Yeah, you can't go out and purposely kill people and hurt people, but as long as you're doing something that is...
Oh, and you can't use crap.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be legit. As long as you're legit, right? I mean, essentially, that's what it's saying. As long as you're legit, go for it.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, there are so many patients that are what we call no option patients. And that's what this law was really designed for. It's not really designed for the weekend warrior that wants some stem cells in his knee or somebody who's, you know, got a little bit of arthritis. This is for that patient who is either failed conventional therapy or isn't amenable to it. So let's take another example. We did a patient with lupus, which is another horn of the same devil as rheumatoid arthritis, except it's even worse because it can lead to, you know, pulmonary dysfunction. I mean, rheumatoid arthritis leads to a lot of bad things too, but lupus, I think, would be considered worse because you have joint disease and you can get organ disease. Anyway, and this woman also had another autoimmune disease called myasthenia gravis. Are you familiar with that? Or myasthenia ocular. Anyway, your eyeball looks like it's fallen out, and I know people can die from just that disease. So this woman got lupus. She was diagnosed with lupus at 17. We treated her when she was 40. She was saying, she said in her patient-reported outcome that she was popping as many pain meds as she could during the day just to keep going. She was having terrible problems with her lungs. She wasn't breathing well. She had no energy, and obviously she was taking all those pills for pain, and she was taking steroids for the myasthenia gravis. And our protocol called for not only putting stem cells into her vein, these adipose-derived stem and regenerative cells into her vein, so IV to address the systemic issues, but also we injected into her joints where she was also affected. And, you know, it took about 6 months, but she wasn't perfect. Occasionally she was taking an Advil or two, but again, she went from really saying, if my life is going to be this way, I'd rather not have one, to she's now over 5 years out. I talked to her primary care doctor just the other day, and he said she's very stable and doing great.
And popping an Advil every so often compared to what she was, that's incredible. Okay, what about things like knee replacements and hip replacements where it's not life? I mean, it seems pretty severe to get your knee cut out and put in a fake one, or your hip replaced and put in a fake hip. Is that something that you guys do, or are we still stuck with conventional medicine on that front?
Well, there are some other there are some other providers that say, hey, look, you got a bad knee, come in here, we can use some bone marrow, or we can use some other types of products and or physical therapy. And a lot of patients really don't need that knee replacement. But here's the really the thing that's not discussed almost at all. It's almost the elephant in the room in our healthcare system. And people with joint disease, like you just described, are great examples. When you meet somebody my age, now I look a little healthier than a lot of the 66-year-olds, right? But
you do.
But if they've got one bad knee, you can be pretty sure they've got two. Or a bad knee, a bad shoulder, you know, maybe a bad tummy. And so,
what do you mean a bad tummy?
You know, I like.
How do you have a
bad? I mean, maybe they have irritable bowel.
Oh, okay, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. But my point is that as people get older, I like to say, you know, it's like a motel. It never has just one cockroach. So our patient is typically not the patient who's just got a torn ACL or a torn meniscus. Like a woman called me the other day and she said, you know, I really want to get my knee fixed. You know, one of my friends went to your place in Okeanos and it's amazing because he avoided a knee replacement. And I said, okay, well, thank you for telling me that. What other joints bother you? And she said, well, my feet, I think it was her ankles, and then and then I think she has some finger arthritis. And then she said, but you know, I'm getting older and my memory isn't so good. So all of a sudden you're saying, okay, well, this patient can't just get a knee replacement. They're not going to really be that much better because they've still got two or three other things wrong and they're getting worse. And it's showing up, you know, all that inflammation showing up in their brain as well. So the right to try law says that you have to treat patients who are terminally ill, which we don't really do true terminally ill patients, because I don't think we can save a patient who's truly about to die, but they we can treat patients with life-threatening diseases. Well, the FDA, and we go by FDA definitions, even in the right to try law, it's actually part of the beauty of that law. And the FDA says a debilitating condition is, or life-threatening conditions include debilitating conditions. So where rheumatoid arthritis isn't immediately life-threatening, it's completely debilitating. Same with lupus, same with diabetes, same with heart disease, that kind of thing. So when you, and then there's, this is like, you know how I just described the fact that somebody with one bad joint usually has two or three other issues? Well, here's a stat that I learned about maybe a year ago, and it blows my mind. There are 98 million adults in the United States that have two or more chronic diseases. 75% of adults above the age of 65 have two or more chronic diseases. The average senior, which I am one, but I'm not average health-wise, sees seven different doctors and takes, I think it's seven different meds, four prescription and three over-the-counter a year.
Wow.
That's seven, the real elephant in the healthcare room.
Yeah, you know, I just did an interview with a toxicologist, and he's saying we're just so far over-medicated, it's killing us in that way, too. Yeah, I mean, it's killing your immune system. Well, it's you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, do people, it's too bad you're not in the Bahamas anymore, because people who don't have life-threatening or really debilitating, because they could go there just to get a simple knee, you know, with your knee, but they have to be a little more severe.
Yeah, but we didn't do much of that.
Could you? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we could do that. There are things we could do, but it's not really our focus. But there are others that can do that.
Okay.
You know, there are others that can do that. What we are uniquely capable of doing is taking a patient with life-threatening conditions, and often more than one, right? And treating them for all of that in one condition. And that spinal cord injury patient that you brought up is the penultimate example of that.
Explain that. Before we go, this is a perfect one that we can end the show with. Can you explain what happened with that? And if you don't mind, I'd like to post that on my website, his actual writing up his situation. But can you explain?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was incredible. So he had a primary care doctor who had taken an interest in what Ambrose was doing. And I had been sending this doctor a lot of published literature that supported the use of these adipose-derived stem cells to treat various chronic diseases. Interestingly, there's now 55,000 published papers that mention or fully on the subject of adipose stem cells. That's pretty, 55,000. This isn't like, you know, five papers were written with an animal study.
No, yeah, no, it's a serious deal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so the doctor says, look, I've got this patient, he had spinal cord injury. I call the guy up and I say, Jeff, tell me about your thing. And he had been racing he had a desert race car and he'd been racing, and somehow the windshield came loose and hit him in the head. And he went to the hospital. They did an MRI. It looked like he needed a spinal fusion. And the doctor, who turns out this was a misdiagnosis, besides all the bad drugs we take, about 20% of all diagnoses are wrong. So this doctor said, hey, you need you need a spinal fusion right now. I think it was T10 to T12. So he goes in for the spinal fusion to avoid being a paraplegic and comes out a paraplegic.
Oh, that's too bad. What a shitty situation.
That was bad. So he literally, that sucked.
That's an understatement, but keep going.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was beyond his worst nightmare, right? So he comes out from this surgery that's supposed to, you know, basically protect him, and he ends up a paraplegic. And then somewhere along the line, he's in the hospital, and because of the spinal cord injury, he can't move his bowels, and he ends up with an abscess colon. And so he has to get part of that colon resected. That's called an ostomy. And so that leads to severe 10.24/7 scar pain.
He's a paraplegic, right? He's in a wheelchair. His colon doesn't work. It's just he's in pain. Okay.
Yeah. And he's in the hospital for 41 days. But his wife, and this goes back to these other factors, his wife's with him every day, fantastic woman. And he gets to the point where he can walk with sticks, but he's in pain, and he was on like 4 or 5 drugs, Oxycontin, ibuprofen, something called baclofen for spasms. One of the things that happens when you have spinal cord injuries is that you don't necessarily have control of your bodily functions the same way, right? And then he was also he had this, he calls it buzzing in his legs. So he found his way back to the point where he could walk with sticks, but he was taking a MS drug to help with something with his nervous system.
When you say walk with sticks, is it kind of
canes?
With canes, is it kind of like really a stiff walk, kind of like you could tell he was disabled kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I saw him walk a little bit when he came to be treated, but you know, this guy's a tough, strong guy, you know, so he was making the most out of a bad situation. The real thing was 10-point pain and buzzing down his legs all day and numbness and difficulty moving his bowels and sexual dysfunction. And so we did probably the most comprehensive protocol that's ever been done for a spinal cord injury patient, where we did direct injections to treat that buzzing or that neuropathy. We injected around the scar because there's very good literature that and studies that have shown that the scar can be reversed and the scar pain can diminish. And he also had something called Charcot foot, Charcot, Charcot, and it's a diabetes symptom where your toes curl up, and that's very uncomfortable, and we injected into his toes. And all in all, he probably got over 100 injections. And then we also injected in his penis. Doesn't hurt.
It sounds bad.
But there's very good literature on being able to restore. Yeah. Well, you numb it. and he was asleep. But anyway, there's very good literature on being able to restore sexual function with these stem cells. And, his first response was actually his Charcot feet got better. He started to he started to have better bowel movements. His sexual function improved. His pain started reducing. Well, he's now out 14 months, because I could go on and on. This was a very complex case. But he's now out 14 months, probably 15 months now, actually. And he's back to racing in the desert. But then he learned to fly helicopters. And oh, by the way, he also learned to scuba dive. And he works out every day. He's lost a bunch of weight. That took a while. But he's off metformin for diabetes. And, you know, he gets a little buzzing in his feet, but his Charcot foot's fine. He rarely gets any real scar pain anymore. He has some back pain, but he thinks that actually might be the result of the fusion, and as opposed to, because fusions, you know, they have their own adverse effects and side effects. But, you know, he's basically doing more now than before when he had the spinal cord injury.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And I'm going to post his story from his words up on my website. I just think that's absolutely an incredible tale. Now, how can people learn more about your company and get hold of you and, you know, see if it's right for them or a loved one? Because this is just so promising. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the thing is we're not here hard selling people or convincing them it's a cure, but we'll educate the hell out of them.
Well, no, I love that because I have a sister-in-law that I would love to check out. She has rheumatoid arthritis, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to get people over that, to do something that is a little unconventional. But the fact that now it's FDA cleared and there's a law, the right to try law and all the other stuff, maybe more people are going to say, okay, this is something that I could try and I'm not so scared, you know?
Right. So just to be clear, you don't have to be the right to try. It doesn't have to be FDA cleared. It's just been through an FDA safety trial.
That's my point.
So it's not FDA approved.
But it's FDA approved for safe. Like it's legit.
Yeah, it's legit. Yeah, it's made it through an FDA safety trial. Our particular products made it through 8 FDA safety trials.
Oh, excellent.
So, or so. But anyway, so our website is Ambrose, AMBROSE. Cell Therapy, CELL Therapy. So that's all one word, AmbroseCellTherapy.com. I'm Matt Feshbach, FESHBACH. And my phone number, people can just call me directly, 727-743-1510. And, you know, they can also go on our website and check us out. That's the best way. And, you know, we're happy to, my big thing is I always say a educated patient is a good patient.
Well, yeah, because it's all about understanding what you're getting yourself into, and it's a total open book. This is what it's about. And for what you're trying to solve, I just love this. Okay. So I will make sure I get that information out for people. And thank you so much for sharing what you are and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.